Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
So I have the amazing privilege of welcoming and hosting Molly Hale today. You can read Molly's history on the channel, but basically Molly discovered martial arts after fracturing her fifth lumbar vertebra in a motor vehicle accident in 1981. And physicians told her that she wouldn't be able to move her arms above her shoulder or have very little movement. But Molly was not going to take that sitting down, and through years of practice with Aikido, Feldenkrais, breath work, massage, horseback riding, chiropractic, and heated pool, and just a whole host of things, Molly's proven the surgeons completely wrong. She's also been the Olympic torchbearer in 2002 in the Winter Games in Salt Lake City, Utah, and subject of a 2005 documentary film, Movement by Movement, The Healing Journey of Molly Hale. And lastly, she's started a nonprofit organization, which is about discovering the ability in disability. So my warm welcome to Molly. Thank you for joining us.
Ah, thank you so much. It's quite a pleasure to be included in this community of people and presenters and people who are just here to listen and to expand their experience. So I've kind of been all over the map. And once I said, yes, I want to do this. And I've been all over the map with what to present, because typically, right, I would be teaching an Aikido class, and that's not what this is. I'm wanting to address how Aikido has supported my being inside of this body more deeply, more resonantly throughout the years, and that Aikido as a practice has this facility, I think, for anybody, that anybody who trains can become more of who they were intended to be. So embodiment for me has been stripping away the contractions that have occurred over a lifetime since birth, when different incidents happen in life that create a holding in the body somewhere. And all of us have these things that go on. And with the Aikido, I have been able to address many cases totally unwittingly that I'm actually addressing opening myself. So my Aikido practice started with a 10-day retreat with a group called Lomi, L-O-M-I, Lomi School, that was out of Marin County in California. And in this 10-day retreat, there was an afternoon where they took us to a local dojo, and we spent 3-4 hours playing in the arena of Aikido. And I was totally attracted to all of the movement coming from contact improv and Feldenkrais and continuum and all those different modalities. I was like a duck in water. And then at the end of the class, the sensei pulled out a weapon called a boken. It's a wooden sword that's used for training. And of all the 18 people who were in this course, one by one, we came. And he raised his sword and did a straight boken, a straight shomen strike, right to the crown of the head. And I watched everybody going through this, and now it's my time. And I get there, and sword comes up, the sword comes down. And this was my first introduction into training without doing harm, because right before he would have whacked me in the head, he stopped. Because I was a deer in headlights. I was completely frozen. I didn't duck, I didn't move, I didn't cover. And it created within me a curiosity about, you know, what is this about? So as soon as I returned home, I went to my local dojo in Redwood City called Aikido West. And the head teacher there was Frank Duran, now Shihan Frank Duran. And I began training. The first, if you will, shedding of was, I want to know why I was afraid of sticks. So I come into the dojo. I'm training. I had 16 days of 1 hour of training. And then my responsibilities as a single mother kind of took over, and I stopped going to the dojo. And I had no idea at that point how I had already been affected in a freeing, positive way. And this came home really clear to me in a very difficult conversation with my mother. Not that anybody hasn't had difficult conversations with their mother, but I found myself still. I was simply still, and I was in this receptive mode that was unusual for me. I wasn't interrupting. I was just there. And my mother said all the things that she said where usually I would have been undone. And I simply, when she was done, I simply responded to her in a very kind way. And as I looked at my body, I noticed that I was standing in Hanmi. This is that triangular stance in martial arts that creates balance and rootedness and ground. And I was pretty amazed. So that was my full commitment then to Aikido. I went back to the dojo, and it was a place that I have never left since. So I'm just bringing something up here, trying to keep my flow going. So in Aikido, the partner that I bring, I am my primary partner. I have a partnership with this being, this body. And when I go to a dojo, there are an array of partners, all different shapes, all different sizes, all different ways of being in the world. But the similar reality is that we were there to train in this art that was addressing training without harm to self or other, about embracing love in our practice, about becoming one with the universe. And that really spoke to me, the whole sense of being part of the larger whole and having a pathway for learning this way. And Aikido, you know, there's the movement, there's the look and see, and you monkey see, monkey do, so to speak. And there are corrections that happen. But the difference in this is that all the corrections came as an invitation to see something new. It was a gift from the teacher that, first of all, that they had even paid attention enough to what I was doing or anybody else was doing to make a correction. And these were always given with love and never harshness. So inside of my being, that harshness that I had delivered to myself in the past when I had done something incorrectly or would have done differently, that harshness with myself started to just slough out of my tissues. It was leaving my body. And so I was dwelling in more of the viscera, the cellular matter of my body because I was shedding just that one little harsh way of being with myself. And, you know, through time, I came up on my training for my Shodan exam. And during one of the trainings, there's what's called a Rondori in Aikido. And that's where there's an attack by one or more people. Now, in Aikido, our attackers are not our pretend enemies. Their job is to deliver a clear, direct, and precise attack that gives the receiver the opportunity to move in a way that creates no harm to self or other. So in this Rondori that I was doing, I was the Nage, I was the receiver of the attacks. I had two attackers initially, and they were both men. And I was, you know, moving them here, moving them there. It was really awesome. I was very grounded and very settled. And then the instructor that evening, Cindy Hayashi, sent two more people out, and they happened to be women. And so all of a sudden, my whole energy body got really small, and I was being overcome by the four-person attack. Very surprising. And but in the sidelines, I was hearing encouragement. Molly, move this way. Molly, move that way. And at the end, when I rose into presence and grounding, then I was there again, moving my four partners out of the path of harm and me out of the path of harm. As that ended and I went over and sat at the side of the mat, I started sobbing, just huge gut out of my body sobs. And what was releasing in that very moment in the community of loving support was me coming face to face with a rape that had happened to me when I was an 11-year-old. And that I had always only claimed the men in that rape. But when she threw in two women, all of a sudden, the two women that were there, actually they were young girls, they were the sisters of these two brothers, those two women entered into that frame. And I was able to shed and forgive and release my whole being in a way that I hadn't up to that point. And I think I was maybe 40 at that point when that happened. It was, again, I embodied the Aikido allowed me to be more present in my body from all those encounters. And again, you know, I'm going through, there's more training happening, and I'm coming up on my Nidan exam, which is a second degree black belt exam. And in that particular exam, there's a lot of weapons involved. And since I entered Aikido through my curiosity about why am I afraid of weapons, I chose the biggest, meanest, weapons guy in the dojo, big 6 foot something. And it was, again, because of the way that we hold each other in Aikido, I knew I was safe in these practices, that I was only going to expand because of the training. And it's exactly what occurred. You know, when there's an exam, of course, the level of the vitality kind of like peaks. And so weapons are coming in. It's even stronger than when you're just doing basic preparation. And I was there and I was grounded in a way that I had only experienced in that moment. And again, there was a shedding, a release of contraction in my being. And at the end of that, I was more there. There was more of me in my body. And that came because of the partner practices. So, you know, we're going along, we're training, more things are going on. I'm coming up on a demonstration for my third degree black belt. And I had gone to Aikido summer retreat. I went every year, and it's a total immersion. People come from all over the world. There's, you know, 120, 130 people training. And this 1995 was an exceptional camp, full of heart and exquisite training. And we have what's called the Follies, which is where the talented and untalented come together in an evening and share our talents. Could be anything. And my sharing was with my daughter, and it happened to be sharing a song called Life's a Dance, You Learn as You Go. And it was a wonderful song, well received by a very happy, exuberant audience. And one of the lines in this song was, you might have to crawl even after you've walked. Little did we know that less than 24 hours later, I would be tumbling my automobile end over end down the freeway after having fallen asleep and ended up with a damaged spinal cord at the C5-C6 level and a prognosis of no movement past my shoulders for the rest of my life. Well, the energetic body that came out of training for 7 days with all of these people, my energy was like I had been plugged into a 440 outlet, and I was just vibrant. That vibrancy is what kept me alive in the car upside down for over an hour, hour and a half, somewhere in there. And it was all of the contacts that I had in that camp that were surging through my body, as well as a training that I had recently in continuum with a particular breath practice. So I stayed alive in the car. My three passengers, my daughter had a bump on her head and a bruise on her shoulder, but they all got out of the car, the upside down car, and were in essence uninjured. So I'm now in Stanford Hospital. I can do this, and that was it. My entire community of Aikido showed up for me. They showed up for me with touch, by feeding me, because there was none of this for me. And they held the space for me to dwell inside a body that I could only sense from the inside, but I couldn't move, nor my brain wasn't feeling it, if you will. So again, Aikido community there in this soup. I had so much training in Aikido. I knew how to hit a plateau, how to feel like I was going backwards. And I had learned how to hold whatever was going on without fear. So I had all this background through Aikido, and I returned to the mat. The Aikido, because I started to gain this kind of motion, and I was able to return to the mat, and the Aikido community supported whatever movement I had. They trained with me from seiza, from sitting on the mat with me, and they worked with me in however I could move. And in the beginning years, my body was pretty spastic. So you'd rattle a newspaper 50 feet away from me and my body would collapse into a fetal position. This didn't faze the Aikido community at all. They were just kind of there for me. The first summer camp that I went to, which was the following year, so 1996, I spent 15 and a half hours on a stage in the dojo where everybody was training. And for 15 and a half hours, I had non-stop handling by the Aikido people, you know, body workers, just love workers, whatever. And I was in that dojo space with all of that incredible spiral energy and joy. Because one of the things that happens in Aikido is we train in joy. It's not that there's never any seriousness, but the basic tenet is to fill yourselves with joy. And so there's laughter on the mat. And this being enveloped in this field, again, rocks my world, stimulates my cells. I'm in the soup with all of this. And that has continued throughout the years. I did a Sandan test. It wasn't a demo. It could have been, but I wanted to test to show that all of the skills that I had trained in prior to being a seated Aikidoist were all there. And that there was clarity, and that though I was not typically abled, that the context of Aikido in balance taking is still right there. Totally, totally possible to engage from what seems like a static position. Some of the teachers, of course, that I have taken from, if any of you have ever trained with Hiroshi Ikeda with his tiny movement, this is exactly what I was able to glean from Aikido and use in my practice and in my teaching. So the Sandan test was both from seated and from sitting on the mat. And the Rondori that happened then had, you know, multiple attackers and was quite delightful and a successful event. So I have continued training. I am going to grab this little bit of water, one of the things I've learned. Handy little thing, these camelbacks carry water with me. So continuing on, right? I have had the great opportunity of teaching, and I teach mostly, I'm teaching to typically abled people. It's rare for me to find someone who's in a chair or has cerebral palsy or some other issue that makes them atypical. And so what I found is that my seated practice gives back to the community as well. So through this embodiment, if you will, as things have deepened and shed, I'm able to offer another way of looking at life, because we all sit, right? Here in these COVID times, we're probably all sitting way, way more than is typical. And one of the things in Aikido is that I can have my seated posture where I am connected out into space with kind of like a little a sky hook here, drawing me out into space, and the pelvic floor being connected to the earth and the gravity that's there, and then I can have a totally upright posture while seated. This is something, you know, all of you out here, you know, when you're walking about, just tell you, your pelvis narrows a little bit when you're walking about. So when you sit, it would be ideal if you would reach under your little sit bones on the left side, lean a little bit and move that ischial into a proper alignment. Same thing with the right one. So now you have your sit bones, your ischial tuberosities are right under your hip line, have a relationship to your shoulders, have a relationship actually to your feet, but it allows the viscera, the cellular matter, to be completely open and receptive to the vitality that comes from breath. I've noticed that on the in the embodiment conference, there's a lot of breath practice that's going on. Well, Aikido is about breath, and we refer to things as breath throws. And so breath is like a critical piece that has been expanded through my training in Aikido. So I have a hugely healthy respiratory system, and it shows up in Aikido all the time. You can actually, if you go and you watch any of the video of any of the exams that I've done or the demonstration I've done, you will hear audibly my inhale and my exhale. And I am certain that this is one of the reasons why I have been able to dwell in my body so fully. I feel all the way down to my feet. It took me about 7 years to be able to get up on my feet where they would actually bear my weight. And it was just gradual, and it had to do with Aikido, with horseback riding, with water therapy. But the breath practice that comes through contact, through Aikido, actually has supported my well-being, and it supports yours. I think that having a profound breath practice where you are using your nose as it was designed, which is means you're bringing your breath in through your nose, ideally, because it warms it, it filters it, it slides by the pituitary. It's just the way we're designed. That learning to do that, as well as learning to let your breath out of your body, ideally, doesn't have to be through the nose, but if it's coming through the mouth, it needs to hold a back pressure, just like it would in your nose, because that allows your CO2 levels to be stable. And if that's stable, your brain functions better. It's fully oxygenated. All of your tissues function better when it's riding on breath. One of the people that I was able to work with in this process of recovering my body's ability to move was a Russian coach who coached Olympic athletes. And his comment, or maybe mantra, was movement without breath is empty work. So this I offer to you. You're going to get it in a variety of other ways, probably maybe part of your practice now. So bringing myself to understand here where I am.
Molly?
Yes, dear.
Would it be possible to take us through a practice, an embodied practice?
The breath practice?
Yep.
Sure. Totally possible. Let's do this. Maybe I should turn on a light in my room because it's starting to get dark in here. I'm just going to roll away for a moment, and I will be rolling right back, but I just need to turn on a light. Forget that it's getting dark. Okay. There we go. And we're here. Coming around.
Did you just turn on the lights?
I did just turn on the light. Oh, good. I have Aikidoists here in the background, married to one by, you know, graciousness. So the lights are on. I hadn't even noticed. So if you're seated, here's what to do in a comfortable chair. You want both feet on the floor. And you want to do this pelvic adjustment by getting your ischial tuberosities to be lined up with the pelvis and not narrowed. And you want to have a sense of at the crown of your head being drawn up and out into space, and being through the pelvic floor rooted into the ground, and you are suspended in between those points. Now, I pick up my feet as well, just because I've had a lot of practice with this, but if you're just doing this for the first time and you're seated, so you want to have your whole belly be open, so you're not crunched over, Your shoulders are rolled back and relaxed. So there's a relaxation in your whole body. There's no tension, ideally. And if you feel tension, just keep, let it drop. So the inhale comes in through your nose. And a lot of times in the beginning, I work with a four breath, a four count inhale. So it's 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 inhale. And at the top of that inhale, pay attention to whether there is a suspension before you begin your exhale. So there is this, you're not holding your breath, it just suspends. And it could be for a second. If you have a lot of breath practice, you may suspend much longer. So the inhale comes in on a four count, and on the exhale, again, I prefer to exhale through my nose if I'm just here in this kind of practice. When I'm training in Aikido, it's going to come through, a port out through my mouth most of the time. Oftentimes when I talk, I'm able to, and I'm not being interrupted or concerned of being interrupted, I can inhale through my nose and exhale through my nose that way. So I'm placing me back up a little bit here. I'm going to place my hands here at Hatha or on my belly. And when I inhale, the inhale I'm not trying to fill from here. I'm actually letting the inhale gently expand my belly. I'm not pushing it out. It's just that when I inhale, the diaphragm moves and the belly has a sense of expansion. And when I exhale, I let that belly button fall back towards the sacrum. So it's not straight back. It has a little curve as it goes towards the sacrum on the exhale. So we'll get there, we'll do this together. I'm just giving you a layout. And at the end of the exhale, I also find that there is a breath suspension that I like to dwell in. And then my inhale will naturally begin. So let's just take a minute, could be a minute and 30 seconds. But to find relaxation in your body, and you're going to inhale through your nose on a four count, and we can begin now. Inhaling, 4,000, suspend, and exhale. Inhale again, four count. If you feel your shoulders starting to rise during any of this, just shake them down and let them relax a little bit, and then begin again at your own pace on the inhaling. And I'm looking at you now in the gallery and seeing this in again. And as you're doing this, the bottom of the lobes of your lungs are receiving this breath. If you're breathing through your nose as was designed, you're creating little eddies with the hairs in your nose. So as the breath moves in and down the trachea and through the bronchia, it's not a straight line. It has some stirring that's going on. So as it goes into your lungs, there's a stirring and it allows the lung tissue to pick up the oxygen much easier because it's moving about. At least that's my feel of it inside of my body. It's moving about. So just a few more of these breaths. So coming to a sense of embodiment, when we're training with partners in Aikido, and a partner, the person who's going to be delivering this really direct, clean, clear attack, when I see them, I have already inhaled and included their entire being moving towards me. I have collected what's behind them, moving through them and coming towards me. And that collection happens really before they ever move towards me. And that collection happens on an inhale. As they're coming towards me with this strike or this punch or a round, whatever is coming, even a kick, I am receptive in a balanced, grounded body, drawing them to me with my inhale. I want them to come towards me, close towards me. And as we make connection, and their balance, pretty much, if they're attacking, they've already lost a certain quality of balance just in the attack. So I can be receptive. I can pick up that stream of energy, removing their balance. I am not throwing them. Really, some 6'5" guy shows up, I'm not throwing them. If I don't take their balance from the beginning, then I'm theirs. It's important. Balance taking is the most critical piece, right? Because otherwise I'm going to be trying to muscle them. There's no muscle. It's just sweeping them off their feet, so to speak. So the receptivity is the inhale as they come towards me. And as I've taken their balance, there is the exhale. And in that exhale, where I've taken their balance and they're going to ground in some way, or moving out of the path of harm in some way, my exhale goes with them. I am fully engaged in this movement. When with their exhale, if they're training correctly, as they're going to ground, they are also exhaling. So we are embodied together, if you will, in this motion of taking balance and going to ground. So the inhale, exhale, on the mat, off the mat, I have found that if I get into, let's say, a train or a bus, I can just sit there and breathe, and I can observe how my breathing, calm, deep, responsive, affects everybody around me. And what may have been chaotic in one moment, all of a sudden starts to get this really soft quality. So because of my training and having this sense of body, I'm able to share that with a totally unwitting public. They don't get this, but they get it. It's just coming through the bodies because we're all in these bodies. Some of us have less contracted spaces that mess with our vitality. And some of us are like open, just open. And there are varying degrees of that. But again, experiencing my own contractions, if you will. So as I have been preparing to do this conversation with you, which ideally will become a conversation, if there's questions, I had to write a bio and then write something for my class. And here again, it came through Aikido, but I hit another area in my being that has been contracted for years. And it has to do with blowing my own horn, whatever that might mean to you. But it meant I'm having to present from my interior who I am. And I was doing a multiple rondori with my whole being in this because I have been really carefully taught never to do that. Never to blow my own horn or say, oh, I can do this. Well, this saying yes through this Aikido connection to doing what I'm doing here and actually speaking about it has freed me in ways that I'm just touching. And I'm so glad because, you know, that kind of training that minimizes our power, minimizes our availability, minimizes our receptivity, that's the stuff that Aikido has, for years, has been touching and moving and with gentleness and in a partnership reality that most of us don't get to have, because our partnership reality in Aikido is partnership without harm. Not that I've never had an injury or been clocked or anything, but the general countenance of Aikido allows me literally to train anywhere in the world where Aikido is offered and pretty much be guaranteed that I'm going to come away with being broader in my training and uninjured. And uninjured both in my psychology and my physicality and my spirit body. I am not going to be injured. And that's in the world of martial arts, I can say it about Aikido. I could probably say that about Tai Chi. So I'm coming back to see if there's anything else here. So we're at this place where if there's any kind of specific question that is arising, I would love to respond to anything that's coming up.
Yeah, so we have a few questions, Molly.
Okay.
One of the questions is, what breath practice did you do in the car?
This breath came through continuum. 2 weeks before summer camp, And 2 weeks before I rolled the car, I had 3 days that I spent with the with Emily Conrad Daoud, who developed the, who seeded Continuum. And the breath that she taught me had to do with some of this suspension. And it was a, more of a circular kind of breathing. So I was bringing the breath in through my pelvic floor. Clearly it's coming through my nose, but the sense was it was coming through the pelvic floor in up into my body. It was a very different way of breathing. And I was upside down, so it really worked to have the breath coming from the pelvic floor into my body. And it was, it helped me be upside down doing a yoga headstand on a broken neck for what, hour and 45 minutes. So that was, if that creates any kind of clarity again, some of the breath patterns that I do bring it in from center or from Dantian or Tantian, however you speak about center, but the breath that Emily gave me on those 3 days was through the pelvic floor into the being.
Great, Molly. Lovely answer. We got two more questions and two more minutes. So do you visualize yourself doing... The question from Heidi is, do you visualize yourself doing Aikido moves that you used to be able to do but cannot do now? In other words, does visualization help you? Just curious.
Certainly. And my dream world is full of Aikido in the body that I had for 11 years of Aikido. It was expressive. I can see that. I can feel that in my dreaming. And so there are mornings I wake up and I'm really surprised I don't just get up and walk around because it's really strong. When I'm training in Aikido now, because everything for me is, it's adaptive. It's when I'm teaching, sometimes what's very difficult is if the attack comes in and it's a little different, Each time my body is going to want to respond to it differently because I'm in a no challenge, no resistance way. I do not resist and I do not challenge. I go with the flow and blend with what's there and redirect. So, but visualization, like I say, it comes through in my nighttime dreaming in a huge way.
Lovely. And the last question is, are you able to be an uki incisor?
Say again?
Are you able to be an uki incisor?
Not in seiza, but I can be an uki from tailor fashion, from where, you know, the legs are crossed this way. It's sitting in seiza for me. Now, if I was on a zafu, you know, something that lifted my butt off of my ankles or my calves, that may be possible. I haven't tried that for a while, but from seated on the floor, totally.
Cool, brilliant. Thank you so much, Molly. That was just so, so inspirational and enlightening. I loved how you spoke about welcoming the attacker on the in breath and letting them go on the out breath, just using and combining your breath with their breath. And it's just such a lovely dance of breath, which from my experience of Aikido is that it's a dance with two people. So thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Delightful.
So if you have, like me, really been enjoying this talk and just the whole conference, please, you can watch this talk again It's available for 48 hours for free on the portal, on Facebook. The links have been shared. Also, please, if you can, buy the library. The library allows you to digest all these over 1,000 talks that's over this conference in your own time, in your own way. What I love about owning the library is that I can stop, rewind, fast forward. I can watch the talks, the videos in my own way. And also, for those of you who don't know, there's also a load of scribes who are actually taking notes from each session. And I love having cheat sheets. So, you know, if I don't want to watch the whole hour long talk, I just go to the cheat sheet and go, oh, that does sound interesting. I will watch this one. Or, okay, not really going to watch that one. And the other benefit of owning the library is that you can share this video or any of the videos that you like with your community. So in that way, by buying the library, you're supporting yourself, gifting yourself this amazing gift, gifting it to your community, because the more we change, the more those around us change, and you can share this knowledge with others. And it also supports us in the conference in terms of allowing it to be free. So thank you so much for watching. I'll end with Molly. Molly, can you give us your, in one sentence or less, your top tip for embodiment?
Oh.
One sentence or less. So that's a challenge.
One sentence or less. Embodiment. Well, the vitality of dwelling inside these bodies that we, whatever the essence is, having been out of this body and back in, what embodiment rocks. It just gives us so much breadth in life to use this wonderful vessel that we have for a pretty brief time on the planet. Yeah?
Thank you. Domo arigato. And I really appreciate the talk.
It was lovely. Thank you so much.